Until the philosophy which owed one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until there are no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, it's a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. It is a war.
Uhuru, and welcome to Reparations in Action, the radio show of the African People's Solidarity Committee here on uhururadio.com. We'd really like to thank the African People's Socialist Party and Uhuru News for giving us this time every week on Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern for Reparations in Action. The African People's Solidarity Committee is an organization of white people and other allies working under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party for true reparations and taking a stand in solidarity with justice, liberation, and freedom for African people and all oppressed peoples worldwide. My name is Harris Daniels, and we're here also with Allison Haney, the Philadelphia chair of the African People's Solidarity Committee. Uhuru, Ali.
Uhuru, Harris.
And we're broadcasting live this week from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where things are heating up, and we're building for an amazing event, the Day in Solidarity with African People, which is going to be next Saturday, November 6th, from 1 to 7 p.m. in Philly. All the information is on uhurusolidarity.org, and we'll be putting out more about the event here and also hearing from many speakers on the program. It's a really exciting show today.
Uhuru, yes, I'd like to really say how excited we are about building for the Day in Solidarity with African People here in Philadelphia for next Saturday, November 6th, and to say what an important campaign this is part of, that the African People's Solidarity Committee and Uhuru Solidarity Movement all over the country has been working on and building for many months now. And we've had successful days in solidarity in San Diego, California, and Oakland, California, events in Gainesville, Florida, and a great event in St. Petersburg, Florida. And it's really an important campaign because it's part of challenging and calling on the white community and organizing in our community to understand and go deeper and really understand that this is the period where we have to take a stand against colonialism and build active support for the right of African people to resist the terror and colonial oppression that they're facing. And it's a fundraiser. We're raising $10,000 for the work of the Uhuru movement, the powerful and critical programs for self-determination and economic self-reliance and for power for African people. So this is a very exciting campaign and culminating really with this next Saturday's Day in Solidarity with African People. And it's very important that we're hosting it here in Philadelphia too, taking this stand and calling on the white population to come out and participate. Because as people know, we've done many shows from Philly before where we've been talking about the serious colonial conditions that African people face here in Philadelphia, the terror by the police department. You know, this is the city literally dropped the bomb on the African community in 1985 and murdered 11 African people, women and children and men. And, you know, where the city has never had to pay a penny for that terrible, terrible crime against African people. You know, where today there's a reign of terror under neocolonialism. The era before in the 60s and 70s and 80s was under Rizzo, was under white power, naked white power. And today, as the Uhuru movement has shown, the African community suffers escalated attacks under neocolonialism. And nowhere is that more true than in Philadelphia, where you have a city, you know, the city council is led by, the mayor is a Mayor Nutter is an African mayor, the DA is an African DA, and the police chief is an African police chief. And yet, you know, the attacks on the black community escalating. We've seen, you know, the stop and frisk just go absolutely unleashed, where young Africans are stopped every single day, terrorized, imprisoned, and there's a huge economy here built off the imprisonment of young African people, and where we've seen, you know, like the highest poverty rates, the highest imprisonment rates, and the highest hunger rates right here in Philadelphia. So it's a community that is suffering terribly, but the reality is that the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, the Uhuru Movement, led by Diop Alugbala, the president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, you know, has been waging fierce resistance and organizing the African community. And as people have followed through Uhuru News, through Uhuru Radio, and has participated in, Diop Alugbala himself, you know, as the courageous leader of the resistance of African people here in Philly, who challenged the Nutter administration, challenged the billion-dollar war that the Nutter administration is waging against African people, he himself has been under attack that, you know, neocolonialism has attempted to silence the resistance as embodied by Diop Alugbala. He was on trial for a year and a half under felony charges. And, you know, the Uhuru movement summed up, it was a real, at least a partial victory that he was not imprisoned because of the resistance of the community and African people all over the world and people writing in. So this is an important campaign, and it's an important city, you know, to be hosting this event.
Uhuru. And for those of you who have to step away from the computer, you can listen to Uhuru Radio by phone in the U.S. calling 425-905-1825 or toll-free 888-207-2248. The other numbers, if you're in different countries, are located at uhururadio.com. And if you want to email in a question, we won't be taking calls during this show today, but if you have any comments or questions you want to email in, email dj@uhururadio.com. And so we want to go right into hearing from the leadership here in Philadelphia, from the African working class, leading in PDOM, the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, President Diop Alugbala, in a presentation from the March for Black Justice on October 13th, followed by the solidarity statement from our chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Penny Hess. So this is from Philadelphia, right outside the Criminal Justice Center on October 13th, 2010. Uhuru.
We have a sense to go to a so-called sense and hearing where Judge Roxanne Covington will be forced to make a decision on which side of history that she wants to be on. Does she want to side with the poor oppressed, with the future, which is the struggle for freedom for oppressed people around the world, or does she want to side with the past, with white power and its historic attacks on the African community? But either way, we know that there will be no peace in the city of Philadelphia as long as this war continues to rage against the black community. And so we know that it is in the best interest of everybody to support the demand for the freedom of Diop Alugbala. We know that the demand for reparations and independence for African people and oppressed people around the world is right. Now we have to say straight up and down, when they talk about a crisis, when they talk about the crisis that the U.S. government is experiencing, this crisis is caused by the resistance of oppressed people around the world. You can't expect for there to be peace as long as everything you got was stolen from the oppressed people around the world. When the oil in your gas tank came from the people of Iraq and Afghanistan and Algeria, as long as the diamond on your finger came from oppressed African workers in Sierra Leone, as long as the job you got right now in the court system comes from locking up black people, how can you expect for there to be peace in the city as long as you prosper at the expense of a poor oppressed population? So we say it is in the best interest of everybody to unite with the just demand and freedom and liberation, and reparations to oppressed people, especially African people, whose labor built this city and this economy brick by brick. There would be no penny in the U.S. government's treasury if it was not for the pain and suffering and hard labor of black people for the last 500 years, y'all. And so this is our debate. We say return our stolen labor. Return the value of our stolen labor. Liberate African people. Join the struggle and the demand for liberation for oppressed people around the world. So at this point, we're going to go into the courthouse.
The House of Injustice.
Judge Roxanne Covington to raise up the demand for freedom for Diabolik Bala. Again, we appreciate everybody who came out. Sister Comrade Pan Africa, the Boom Organization, International Concern, Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jabbar, the New Black Panther Party. I don't know if Comrades had anything left to say, but at this point, we're going to go ahead and roll in there. We say, jail killer cops, 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 justice for black people,
justice for black people,
justice
for black justice.
Powerful presentations at the March for African Justice, for Black Justice at the DIOP Olugbala trial on October 13th in Philadelphia, and both Diop Olugbala, the international president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, and Penny Hess, the national chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee that you heard just now, will be speaking at a day in solidarity for African people on November 6th here in Philadelphia, as well as the sister of Askia Sabour, who they were mentioning, who was is an African man who was brutally beaten by the police in West Philly on September 3rd by a whole mob of six cops who attacked him, brutally beat him, and that was caught on tape. That was the only reason it was really known, because, of course, this happens every single day in Philadelphia and throughout this country. So his case is important, and Askia's sister, Naima Wilson, will be speaking at a day in solidarity with African people also, as will Pam Africa, who is the chair of the International Friends and Family of Mumia Abu-Jamal, will be speaking at a day in solidarity with African people too, and talking about the crucial upcoming November 9th march demonstration and court hearing in Philadelphia at the federal courthouse at 6 on Market Street. And that's something that we're calling for everybody to come out and participate and support. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hear a short clip now, I believe, from Pam Africa, who was interviewed last week on Africa Live by Nambinga Zimbabwe. So we wanted to play that for you so that you can also know more about the upcoming November 9th call to come to Philadelphia to support Mumia Abu-Jamal, an African political prisoner and revolutionary. Uhuru.
Yes, on the move, Uhuru. Where we at with Mumia's case, you know, right? On November the 9th, there's protest is going on again around the world, and because what people don't understand, and this almost 30-year battle for this black revolutionary journalist and our father, grandfather, life, and is that, you know, we are at the end of the battle. And what can come out this trial? If the courts say, if the district attorney go for the death sentence and it's accepted, and Mumia has a chance for, they would have to present another hearing. But on the federal level, prior to this, Judge Yan, who's a Third Circuit Court of Appeal judge, stated very clearly, if we have another hearing, it's only two things can come out of here, life or death, no matter how much evidence is presented. And either way, this is the only thing that can come out. We have absolute evidence of a conspiracy to commit murder. We have absolute evidence and all factual and all physical evidence to show that Mumia was framed and the cops had lied. And I'm saying with all of this, these outlaws, and it's testing the American people, it's testing revolutionaries as to what their stand is going to be. Because how can you have evidence of innocence and the only outcome of a trial could be life in prison without the possibility of parole or a death sentence? And, you know, this is something that all people who demand justice must stand up for, and especially those people that's on the front line. Mm-hmm. And because what they're saying, your evidence of innocence don't mean a thing. And when they set a precedent, if they're allowed to get away with this, and people, you know, who stand up against this government and the wrongs and the ills of it, whether you be an animal rights activist, whether you be an activist for school concerns, or whatever, take it from A to Z, and you know, your innocence when being framed by this government means nothing. And we know that that already exists, but they're getting ready to set a brand new precedent. And when it comes to a person who is fighting for his life, and you have absolute evidence of innocence, and prior to a hearing, a judge is saying, it doesn't matter. The only thing that's coming out here is life or death. And, you know, and we say, hell no. And ain't nowhere in the world that we gonna sit by and settle for this. We're asking people to come into the city. If you can't get into this city, you know, on November the 9th, which is a Tuesday, and they, you know, they strategically pick these days, and because what's going on right now, everybody is, you know, most people is geared up into this election. and you know, Obama is running around trying to save the Democratic Party and for white folks and for capitalist folks and you know, because white folks are screaming about the injustice in the Democratic Party as well too. But for these capitalists, he's trying to save that party, and he's stringing along people who are looking for some hope, but they're looking into the wrong places, and because they're fooled by suits and slick politicians, and you know, and I really don't understand how it can happen, you know, in this time and age when the government selected a black man to be the president of the United States, and a whole lot of people fell behind him. All you need to do is look and see what has actually happened.
Yes.
And, you know, instead of putting your hopes in these people here, we got to put our hopes into ourselves and save ourselves and join organizations, groups, and that is totally, and I'm not talking about partially opposed, I'm talking about totally opposed to the injustices that's happening with, you know, within our communities, you know, in the United States and outside. The policies that this man have in Africa is dangerous for Africans. And all the policies this man has in Puerto Rico and Venezuela and Cuba and, you know, all throughout the United States, his positions on war, on schools, and, you know, on reparations is one that is so right-wing, so Klanist, so corporate America that, you know, we had better see. That's why I'm going to come on November the 13th in to Washington. I will be one of the voices to raise my voice very loud and clear and bring as many people with us who understand that we must without hesitation and start, you know, continue to organize in every group, church, whatever that we can, and to make people understand that this government who put this black man up there as a as the president of the United States, as this independent black man, is anything but. I'm saying the policies are far more worse than what it was when he got in there. I don't care what kind of thing that they throw right out there at us to actually have us say, oh no, we gotta run and defend him. And you ain't running defending him, you're running defending the people that's trying to kill you.
Uhuru, powerful statement by Pam Africa. And she will be speaking at a day in solidarity with African people next Saturday, November 6th in Philadelphia. That's at the First Unitarian Church at 2125 Chestnut Street. And the program runs from 1 o'clock until 7 o'clock at night. That includes a dinner and music and culture by Coco Soul in the evening. But we want to encourage everybody to come out at 1 o'clock sharp next Saturday, November 6th, to the First Unitarian Church at 21st and Chestnut. You got to be there. You got to hear the powerful leaders and speakers, the leadership of the African Liberation Movement today, and how we as white people can join this movement and participate in turning around the system and in opposing imperialism. That's what we're being called on to do. And there are people coming from all over this country, from Boston, Massachusetts, from New York City, from Chicago, Minneapolis, from New Jersey, from all over Philadelphia, from all the campuses in Philadelphia. This is where you got to be. You got to participate in this program because it will change our lives. It will change our minds. It will show us that we don't have to be isolated as white people, you know, living in this little bubble of affluence and a dream world where we think this is going to just continue and we can have our jobs and university careers and go on vacations in Europe and all of this. It's coming to an end, as has been summed up so many times on Uhuru News. We know that imperialism and the whole orgy, 500-600 years of this orgy at the expense of African people living on African people's blood and resources and labor is coming to an end. African people and the peoples of the world are organizing, they're resisting, they're claiming and reclaiming their resources and their future, and we want to be part of this.
Right.
And, you know, we have powerful workshops, like some of the speakers we just heard. We have a workshop called Africans Have a Right to Resist, Forward to the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement National Convention, and that workshop will be led by Diop Olugbala, who we just heard, who's the leader and president of NPDOM is really a courageous freedom fighter today. And we have workshops that are dealing with so many topics that are key to us in the white community to understand. You know, the midterm elections are not going to solve anything, just as Obama did not solve anything. It's imperialism attempting to rescue itself. But, you know, for all the honest and genuine white community people who are out here who know that that is not a solution, who know that the conditions are worsening every single day for African and Mexican and colonized peoples all over the world, and that we have to do something about it, we want to come out, we want to hear these workshops and speakers. Why is it going to take more than a struggle against racism to change the conditions for African people? How African liberation will transform the world for all of us? And a vision for a liberated Haiti. That's going to be a workshop led by Nellie Bailey, who's the director of the Harlem Tenants Council and a member of the Black Is Back Coalition. We also have powerful speakers like Glenn Ford, who we're going to hear a clip from right now, who's the executive editor of the Black Agenda Report and is a member of the Black Is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations. And this is building up for the most important march on Washington this year, which is led by the Black Is Back Coalition, which will be November 13th, directly a week after the Day in Solidarity. So right now we're going to hear a short clip of Glenn Ford speaking, and he will be here in Philly next Saturday, November 6th.
Uhuru. I really want to give congratulations to the Solidarity with African Peoples Committee. This is a beautiful, beautiful venue. Y'all really hooked this up. Really nice. I have spoken in much, much worse places than this. This is quite nice. I'd like you to bear with me. I come from radio news, which means that I am helpless without my script. So if you see me, that's what I'm doing. I'm supposed to be talking this evening about the subject Beyond Obama, Seeking Solutions to the Growing Racial Divide in the United States. I'm going to begin by saying that Obama is much more than just the man, Barack Obama. If it were just a simple matter of discrediting Obama in the eyes of black America, well, he's doing a very good and thorough job of doing that all by himself. He has made it amply clear, even before he became president, that he has absolutely nothing to offer African Americans except that which comes with the rising tide that then comes in and sinks all of our boats. So we don't really have to work very hard to provide the evidence that Obama doesn't give a damn about black America. He is very glad to tell you that himself in so many words, and he has been doing that ever since he became a viable candidate. I think that's what made him a viable candidate. But that doesn't really get us into Beyond Obama, because for the masses of black people, it's not really about Obama's policies, or the man himself even, but about the first black presidency. That's what we're really talking about. Not the man, and unfortunately, not the man's policies, but the first black presidency. And we must not lose sight of that. If we do, then we get a warped vision of black America's reaction to this corporate-minded resident of the White House. Our critiques of Obama's policies are, of course, absolutely necessary, and we must continue, and we must be relentless with our critiques. But we must understand that what we are really confronting is the day-to-day disintegration of a centuries-old black dream. What we are witnessing is the end game of one of the two most powerful currents of historical black political thought. There are two currents that have flowed through black America ever since there has been a Black America. And they have been at war with each other. And they haven't been lined up like two opposing armies, O'Malley on one side and Julian Bond on the other side. These currents, in fact, exist within every Black person. They are at war in our own heads. They come from material circumstances and historical circumstances. And so they are generic, maybe organic is a better word, organic to Black America. And these warring, conflicting currents are playing themselves out now in dramatic fashion. But they have always played themselves out in Black America. When we speak of going beyond Obama, we are requiring that we successfully pass through, understand this passage through a juncture in African American history. Going beyond Obama requires that we politically defeat that ancient Black American political current that holds that achieving the maximum number of Black faces in high places is the route to Black progress, to Black upward mobility, to Black nirvana. This current holds that it doesn't matter who puts those Black faces in those high places as long as those Black faces are up there. And it also holds that there is no need for any fundamental transformation of society to achieve that promised land of happy Black faces in high places. And, by the way, it also holds that there is no need for African-American self-determination, or for self-determination for Africans worldwide, or for the principle of self-determination that is an inherent right of all peoples everywhere. It does not even recognize those principles. This is the internal African-American ideology that we are up against daily and always have been. This is nothing new. It is much more dramatic. It's the same ideology that the self-determinationist, liberationist current of Black political thought has always been locked in struggle with. That was from Malcolm's slavery time, Field Negroes versus the House Negroes, to Booker T. Washington's craven accommodationism, to today's Black corporate shills and toadying Obamites. It's always been that same ideological battle for centuries, and now it is coming to a head, finally, with Barack Obama and his first Black presidency. The proponents of modern-day Black accommodationism, Black capitalism, and Black opportunism have gotten everything with this election that they ever longed for. There is no higher office for them to populate with a Black face. The Black American presidency is it. It is the gold ring, the silver chalice, the everything. It is where this junction of history is where they win their centuries-old argument with us self-determinationists, or they go down in flaming defeat politically. There is nowhere else to go. This is that moment in time.
Uhuru, that was Glenn Ford, the executive editor of Black Agenda Report, and one of the founding members of the Black is Back Coalition for Peace, Social Justice, and Reparations, who, by the way, they are having their second march on the White House on Saturday, November 13th, the week following the Day in Solidarity with African People. That was a clip from Glenn Ford speaking at the St. Petersburg, Florida Day in Solidarity with African People on September 29th of this year. And we're just really honored to have Glenn Ford, among all the other speakers, coming to speak in Philadelphia and really making you know, an incredible program for what really should be considered the event of the year for anyone who considers themselves progressive. You know, we just want to put out the information again that the Day in Solidarity with African People is on Saturday, November 6th. It's at the First Unitarian Church at 2125 Chestnut Street in Center City, Philadelphia. All the information is on our website at uhurusolidarity.org. And right on that website, you can make a pledge to support the fundraising campaign. It's part of Reparations in Action, which is a $10,000 fundraising campaign from the African People's Solidarity Committee and Uhuru Solidarity Movement to support all the programs of the African People's Socialist Party and the Uhuru Movement worldwide. Make a pledge today of $10 or more, and you get a button saying, I support justice and reparations and liberation for African people inside the U.S. and worldwide. And buy your ticket today. It's a $10 to $25 sliding scale, but no one will be turned away for lack of funds for the Philadelphia event. Again, that's Saturday, November 6th. Next Saturday, this Saturday coming up in Philly, you must be there. We're also part of the Reparations in Action campaign that's really pushing forth a 30-year-old fundraiser that's continuing to support the work of the Uhuru movement. It's Uhuru Pies. It's a fundraiser for the African People's Education and Defense Fund. Go to uhurupies.org to sign up, buy pies. You can get pies in the St. Petersburg, Florida, or Oakland, California area around the Thanksgiving holiday. You can sell pies. And if you're anywhere in the world, you can support the campaign by buying pies or selling pies and having them donated to different causes. Also, we are really excited about launching the Uhuru Holiday Online Auction on November 6th, lasting until December 6th. And that is also a fundraiser for the African People's Education and Defense Fund. And it's located at apedf.org/auction, or just search for Uhuru Holiday Online Auction. And this is all part of the Reparations in Action campaign. And, you know, we're really excited here in Philadelphia to be hosting this major event, the Day in Solidarity with African People. And, of course, like any other events that have occurred in the past under the name A Day in Solidarity with African People, Chairman Omali Eshitela, the chairman of the African Socialist International and the chairman of the African People's Socialist Party USA, the founder and leader of the Uhuru Movement, will be delivering the keynote address at the event on November 6th. So we want to hear, you know, just a little preview of what you might hear next week if you come in person to see the chairman, whose new book, One People, One Party, One Destiny, is out. And you can actually buy that book and get the chairman to sign it at the event if you come out on Saturday, November 6th in Philly. So this is a clip of the chairman from the St. Petersburg, Florida Day in Solidarity with African People, again from September 29th. And, you know, really saying what it means to take a stand in solidarity with African liberation. This is on Reparations in Action on UhuruRadio.com.
What we...
this issue of solidarity is one that we think is extremely important. And people have, before I have stepped up, talked about how I and the African People's Socialist Party have fought for a long period of time for African liberation. But I would say that while that is true, we have always understood that the struggle of African people is part and parcel of the struggle of oppressed and exploited people all over the world. We understand that there is no history of African people separate and apart from the history of the peoples in the world. We are not like Europeans or Americans who sort of see themselves in isolation from everybody else. We understand that ours is a part of the history of the world. And we also understand that the history of the last period of the world, the history of capitalism, the emergence of capitalism, is one that has defined the relationships of all the people on the planet Earth. That everybody is impacted by this development, this emergence of capitalism. And it's really important for us to understand that this discussions that we're having, I think, are extremely important. These are not just some idealistic discussions, feel-good discussions, but people are offering up, I think, very important analyses, and I'm hoping that there's enough intellectual energy in this room to be able to entertain, like, the analyses that are coming forward. It's not just feel-good speech that people are engaged in making here. And it's important for us to get to the root of the crisis, the root of the contradictions that we are confronted with, the root of this profound contradiction that has existed between black people and white people, for example, in this country. We can't even, you know, we can pretend that it does not exist, but it's here and it has been here. And in many ways, it's a frightening kind of contradiction, perhaps the most profound, perhaps the most frightening contradiction that white people have to deal with, and certainly Africans have had to deal with since our being brought to this country, is this relationship between white people and black people. It's been, if there weren't children in the room, I'd say, you know, like, it's been a hell of a relationship. Yeah. And it has been a bloody, brutal relationship. It has been a relationship of the worst kind of slavery, oppression, murder, genocide. That's the nature of the relationship. That's how it's always been. Even it was that way even when we had so little power that we had to buck dance and sing, you know, songs about mint juleps for the master. It was always that way. And so that's just the reality. And I think everybody kind of knows that. But let's get to the essence of what the contradictions are, because as Comrade Glenn Ford mentioned, I think, in his presentation, that the whole issue of democracy in this country has been one that has been defined by the struggle of black people, by African people. At the time when this country was toying with fascism, at the time when they were electrocuting the Rosenbergs and what have you, at the time when the Communist Party had to go underground, et cetera, it was real unity with fascism that existed in Germany and other places existed in this country. It was the struggle for Africans, by black people, for civil rights that kept the society open. That was the basis for the struggle for democracy in this country. We have been the ones. This incredible African people kidnapped from our homeland. Kidnapped. And I think it's important to mention that because people like to fantasize about the nature of this country. They like to talk about how America is a country of immigrants, my ass. Because Africans are not immigrants, we are captives. We were captives when we were brought here. We were a people who did not come here looking for a better way of life, but lost a better way of life as a consequence of having got here. So that's a good starting place. Understand that. We have to understand that. We have to understand when we talk about the Mexicans and the illegal aliens coming across the border, that an actual war that stole California, New Mexico, Nevada, much of the West and Southwest, war took that land. But at gunpoint, and using the same kind of rationale for doing it that America is using in places like Afghanistan and Iraq and other places even today. And now the people whose land, who find themselves landless, right, now are considered illegal aliens for crossing an artificial border that was put there at their expense. And then all the people in this country get fed pablum that they call history. And of course, the ones who have the power are the ones who define what is historically correct and significant. And they have created a history that emerged, they have created a history that actually obscures real relationships in the real world. And because capitalism that is extolled by every president and every pundit of significance in this country has no redeeming qualities. It is a social system that has its origin in genocide and slavery. The question, you know, that could be asked about why is it that white people, this minority population on the planet Earth, is so much better off than everybody else? Why is it that half the people on Earth, you know, live off less than $2 a day? Why is it that so many people on Earth, perhaps most people on Earth, are confronted with the issue of not having clean water? You know, in places where some of the wealth, the most significant resources are concentrated, that is the reality that we're confronted with. That is not normal. And of course, the answer is, if you listen to the, not only George Bush, who gave a ready answer, it's because we are good, right? Right? And that's not Bush is not far-fetched. Because everything that we learn in our experience in this country explains this reality to us. I mean, where do you get the story of a fat white guy living in the North Pole where it's too cold to work? Right? Who has these magical elves or something, you know, who create all the goodies, right? And then, you know, every year using a reindeer, you know, reindeer and a sled, you know, run around and drop off nice things to all the good people, right? And, of course, what it is part of the philosophical underpinning of this country that explains how wealth is created. You know, it wasn't worked for. You didn't create it, so it came from this fat white guy, this jolly white guy, you know, where it is even too cold to work, and it just gets dropped off because we are good, which is an absurdity, but it feeds into the psyche, it feeds into the philosophical underpinning of this country and this world that we live in, because it's not just here, because actually Santa Claus, you know, comes from Holland, right? From the Netherlands, right? And there's a story to be told about that as well, but I won't belabor the point. The point is that there is a lot of fantastic fluff that poses as history and as explanation for the reality that we are confronted with and are trying to find ourselves out of. Because nobody, I think, in his or her right mind wants to live in this world where there's so much conflict, so much contradiction all the time. We'd rather be able to enjoy this planet Earth and be able to live without fear. And but in order to do that, white people have a lot of work to do in understanding this reality. And at one point, I thought 9/11 would contribute to that, because when you have power, you don't have to understand anything by anybody else on earth. If you got power, you just take everything for granted. But 9/11, I thought, would be a kind of wake up call after the initial knee jerk reaction, go and kill everybody. You know, I thought that it was possible to have meaningful discussion in this country, because if in fact there are people who are willing to get on an airplane and kill themselves just to make sure that they killed and destroyed white people and things that are important to America, it would seem to me that you'd want to know why the hell that happened. You know, why the hell did it happen? What, you know, come on, fight against terrorism, why the hell is everybody pissed off? You know, seem to me at some juncture you'd want to know the answer to the question. Why the hell are they pissed off? You know, why is under every bed I got to look for a so-called terrorist? Right? And of course, that's not the question that's being debated at all. You know, even on these news shows where they put up these false, these straw men, you know, what do they call them? The pros and the cons on every question is false, right and left, that they offer up on TV. They don't deal with this question. Why? Why is it happening? And the reason why it's happening, of course, is because the whole thing, the whole capitalist world, revolves around being able to extract tremendous amounts of value from oppressed peoples around the world. That there are people who are dying in Afghanistan and Iraq and all over Africa and much of the world, so that there can be peaches in the supermarket in this country regardless of what season it is. You can go and find a peach. You can go and find something that you want. Where you eat better Chinese food than the Chinese eat in China. The fact is that there is this relationship that is here. And it's not something that all of the people decided, you know, Africans in Africa said, hey, you know, 400 years. Can you see it now in a people sitting up in Angola somewhere? You know, 400 years from now, you know. I think they're going to invent the National Basketball Association, right? Why don't we get a jump on it, right? and go now. That wasn't how it happened. You know, African people were kidnapped, were brought here screaming and yelling. We were not the ones who were jumping on Mayflowers and things like that to get the hell out of an oppressive and sick and dying Europe.
Uhuru, that's just the beginning of what we need to understand as North Americans from the leadership of the African working class movement for liberation. That is Chairman Omali Eshitela, the chairman of the African Socialist International. And, you know, that's just a brief part of what you'll hear at the Day in Solidarity with African People next Saturday, November 6th in Philadelphia. We can't stress enough how important it is for you to attend this event. Even if you can't attend, make a donation at uhurusolidarity.org. Go right on there. Check out all the programs of the Uhuru Movement, of what we support, and make a donation using a credit or debit card right there, or it gives you an address to mail a check to Uhuru to support the work of the Uhuru Movement. We're coming to a close on this week's Reparations in Action show. We do want to hear one more clip from the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, who will be giving a presentation at the Day in Solidarity with African People Philadelphia on Saturday, November 6th. Penny Hess, an incredible leader of North Americans who really understands the question of solidarity and gives us, the opportunity to be in an organization that really has a principled relationship and overturns this parasitic relationship to African and all oppressed peoples. So we're gonna hear that clip now from Penny Hess from the Oakland, California event. Of a day in solidarity with African people, and then we'll close out our show for this week. Uhuru.
Uhuru. I want to thank Wendy for that introduction, and I want to thank the African People's Solidarity Committee here in Oakland, California. It's an honor to be here. I just want to express my unity with what a fantastic video that was. That was really powerful and to me says it all. I want to salute Chairman Omali Eshitela and welcome him to Oakland, and Glenn Ford, executive editor of Black Agenda Report, and welcome him here. And to say again, my name is Penny Hess. I am the chair of the African People's Solidarity Committee, the organization of white people that work under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party, with our job being to go out into the white community to organize other people just like ourselves, to recognize our interest in standing in solidarity with the struggle for African liberation, the liberation of African people as one people all around the world. Africa is their birthright. And by extension, in solidarity with the liberation of indigenous people whose land this is, and with oppressed and colonized peoples all around the world. And the question of white people standing in solidarity with African people is not at this moment as popular a stand as it's going to be as this whole world and crisis of imperialism unfolds. But I'm proud to be a member of this organization and have been a member of it for a long time. And I want to say that we're facing imperialism's most serious crisis, the death throes of a system built on the enslavement of African people and the genocide of indigenous peoples. And while, of course, I don't have a crystal ball, I can't say what will happen in the future, but I think that we can pretty safely say that for us as white people, the future for ourselves and for our children is not going to be what our parents thought it was going to be. We can at least say that much, that we can begin to see a system that is breaking down. And as the chairman says, that is because of the struggles of the peoples on the planet Earth, struggling for the return of their resources, their lives, their land, and control over their own destinies. Let's see, hold on one second. Here we go. I want to say, too, that I think that it is a really important time for all of us to be active, to be a member of an organization, that it is not enough just to sit back and say we did our political work by listening to KPFA or Democracy Now! Or something like that, that it's not enough to just go to a demonstration against the U.S. war in Iraq or against the people of Afghanistan. It's not enough to do that. This is not a time to be able to sit around and just be a consumer of information. This is a time when we have to struggle. We have to fight. We have to take on our responsibility, not just to stop a war, but to end imperialism. And to do that by going into the heart of the belly of the beast, to take on our responsibility to dismantle it brick by brick in solidarity with the liberation of African and oppressed people. So this presentation is called Stop the War Against the African Community, Solidarity with African Resistance. And this presentation that I am giving is based on the theory of African internationalism. This is the political theory founded by Omalia Shetela and the African People's Socialist Party, under whose leadership we work. And it is the theory that sees the world not through the eyes of the white ruling class, but through the African working class, that sees the world as the majority of the peoples on the planet experience it. And while I am not African, I am an African internationalist. We can embrace the point of view of the majority of the people on the planet Earth. And indeed, if we're to understand and be able to come out of this crisis in a positive way, we need to see the world through the eyes of the African working class and the majority of the people on the planet Earth. Because right now, as we've said, U.S. imperialist power is in crisis. If there's a deepening capitalist economic crisis inside the United States, and as Chairman Omalia Shetela has told us, this crisis is caused by the struggles of the world's people to control their resources and their lives. It is not caused by a derivative or hedge funds on Wall Street. That's a symptom of it. The reality is that the U.S. can no longer do with impunity what imperialism has done to oppressed and colonized peoples around the world for so many hundreds of years, because the people themselves have put a stop to that. And Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, the President of the United States, is imperialism's response to the struggles of the world's peoples. As Chairman Omalia Shetela says, Obama is white power in blackface. He is the face that imperialism had to put up all around the world because it could no longer have a white president there to carry out the imperialist agenda. They needed an African. They needed somebody that looked like the majority of the people on the planet to carry out the imperialist agenda. So what do we see Obama doing? Despite hope and change, we see Obama intensifying the imperialist agenda in the Middle East and around the world. We see Obama building AFRICOM, as was spoken about, to control Africa's resources. Africa itself has something like 87% of the resources that high-tech, industrialized countries need to function. Obama has increased covert action around the world. Obama's so-called withdrawal from Iraq. He still has 50,000 troops in Iraq, 100,000 security contractors, and 11,000 mercenaries there. There is no difference between the day of the withdrawal and what was going on for years before that. Obama has 150,000 troops in Afghanistan, U.S. and U.N. troops in Afghanistan right now. And Obama put Bill Clinton as the colonial overseer over Haiti subsequent to the earthquake in January of 2010, where only 2% of the $5 billion pledge has materialized to go to the people. And where is the rest of it? Most of it is in Bill Clinton's foundation's bank account right now. Have you seen, you know, I was reading just recently that The Red Cross hasn't spent any money there. It says that they're planning for long-term projects that benefit the gentrification and, and white profit-making off of the suffering of the people of Haiti. Obama is escalating the attacks on the Mexican population, the Mexican community, and deploying drones on the border between Texas, or between U.S.